as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles right into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here. Can you hear me? Okay. So today I have the privilege of preaching from a miracle of Jesus that has a very special connection in my life. Most of the time when we preach miracles, it's something that happened in the past, but I have the blessing to say that I've actually experienced a very similar miracle to this. I know many of you are familiar with me being in pain, but actually the fact that I'm still here and alive and standing is the miracle, because my original condition was something they were diagnosing as mitochondrial disease, which is immune disorder of the muscles. And what happens is over the years, your body just slowly deteriorates, the muscle wastes away, you can't walk, you can't move. And I was bedridden. We had to pack the boxes, we had to pack up to move, because I had stairs in my townhouse and I couldn't get up and down the stairs to my bedroom to go to the bathroom. And then they gave me only a few months to live. So I'm a single mom. I have an 18-year-old daughter. I was having to draw up the will, and everything was end of life, end of life. And the man in this miracle has something called universal paralysis. So it's very similar, that it slowly kills you, your movement goes, and you can't walk, but your brain stays intact. So you know what's going on in your body, you just can't move. What Jesus does for him has big significance for me, and I hope it will speak to you. But first, let's pray. Dear loving Father, we thank you that you are a good God. And even though there's so much suffering in the world, we also know that you care for us, you weep with us, and you are here with us now. So we pray you would speak to us through your word, open our hearts to what you have to say, and help us to apply it in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So the setting is that one day Jesus is in someone's house in Capernaum, which is a village in Galilee, And everybody's heard about him. They've come from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, because they've seen him perform miracles. They've seen him heal lepers and drive out demons, and the house is packed to the rafters. They are standing room only. But then it says the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were just sitting there. So there's only standing room, but they've pulled some chairs, and they're not sitting at Jesus' feet. They're sitting at a distance, ready to criticize him. But it says the power of the Lord was on Jesus, with Jesus, to heal the sick. And this power is actually the Holy Spirit. We read about it in Luke 3, when Jesus was baptized, the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, it says. So this is the power of the Holy Spirit he has. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So he's a person in Jesus, and this power in Jesus to heal people, to speak with authority. So what happens is there are these men, four of them, it says in Mark, and their friend is dying. So they carry him on a mat to the house, and it's packed, and they can't go in. And it says, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. So they get there, it's packed, and they don't give up. They don't say, oh, all right, we tried, let's go home. No, they say, hey, look at the roof. And in those days, the roofs were flat, right? And they were huge. And they would have had to sort of pull that poor man up to the roof. And then maybe one guy's listening through the roof, where is Jesus talking? And okay, this spot here, they remove the tiles and lower him down. Imagine if you were the owner of that house, or you were renting that house. What would you think? Oh my gosh, they're destroying my house, right? Oh, if you were the paralyzed man, you might say, hey, I don't want to go up on that roof. And now he's being lowered. Everybody's staring at him. How would you feel? But nothing stops these people, these friends, from getting their dying friend to Jesus. When I wasn't given long to live, my friend Jenny saw me, and she saw I was dying, and she was going to this conference, and she saw a woman there having the power of the Holy Spirit to heal people. Now, I know this is controversial, but she saw it happen. She saw people who couldn't walk, and they suddenly walked again. It was incredible. And she came and got me for the next day. She said, I'm taking you to this woman. I'm like, no, don't believe in all this, you know. And she put me in a car, took my wheelchair, you know, wheeled me in. And I kept saying, no, Jenny, please don't get me out of here. And she said, well, first of all, I had this word open in front of me. And I thought, no, open the door so I can go home, you know, get out of here. And Jenny said, I just thought, if you keep an open heart, open mind, what do you have to lose? And I said, all right, you said the magic word, you said open, I'll try it. And so I went. But the point is that nothing stopped my friend from getting me to someone she knew had the power of Jesus to heal. So let me ask you, what stops you from getting the people you know and love to Jesus? Are you afraid? Are you embarrassed? Are you shy? Yes, I see Rizbub brought his friend today. You know, that's one of the ways you do it. You bring your friends to church, or you pray with them, or you just simply be with them and show them the joy of Jesus through who you are. And there's many ways of doing it. So what happens is that they plunk him right in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Does he say, what are you doing? Why are you destroying this poor man's house? No. He sees their faith and he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, this is weird, right? So Jesus can see into the hearts of everyone because he's God. And he sees into the hearts of these four men. He sees their faith in him to heal. Maybe they don't know quite yet who he is, that he's the Messiah, but they know he has power to heal. And this faith moves him. But then he looks into the heart of the paralyzed man, and he sees that the paralyzed man wants something more than to walk again. He's got a very heavy conscience. He needs to be forgiven. So Jesus sees into his heart and he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, this might seem odd to you. If you were lame, you think, if you can't walk, you think the first thing you want to do is to walk, right? But I know that when I was given a few months to live, every night I was not praying for healing. When I was woken up in pain, when I was hobbling to the bathroom, I was saying to God, I've done all these bad things in my past. I had a very heavy heart, and I just needed to know that God forgave me and all the people that I ever wronged forgave me before I left this world. I just wanted to know that everything was set right, that everyone knew how sorry I was for being a total, you know what, in the past. And I needed to be forgiven. So let me ask you, what paralyzes you? Yeah? What keeps you from enjoying life, from being truly happy? Is it a feeling of emptiness? Is it a feeling of rejection? Do you fear losing your family or your visa or your security, financial security, physical security? What is it? Because whatever it is, I ask you, just lift it to God. Ask him to show you what it is that really stops you from being truly happy. Lift it to God. Ask him to show it to you and pray that slowly he will heal you. Because the thing is that we were made in God's image. That's what the Bible says. We were made for God. And the moment we shift our happiness to something else, then we will always be unhappy. Even when we get it, we won't be satisfied. So then, when Jesus does this, he forgives the sins of this man. What do the Pharisees and the teachers of the law think? Blasphemy. What's blasphemy? Do you know? It's cursing against God. It's claiming to be God. And the Pharisees say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, are they wrong to say that only God can forgive sins? No. But it just so happens that Jesus is God. And you might say, okay, but you know, these Pharisees, maybe they didn't have enough proof. But the thing is, they were there with the crowds when Jesus healed the lepers and all the other sick people, when he drove out all those demons, they were there. So it's not because they didn't have enough proof. It's because they wanted to cling on to control of their own lives and the lives of their people, the Jews. So let me ask you, if today you don't believe in Jesus, or you don't trust really that he's the Messiah, is it because you don't have enough proof, or there's no way of you for getting the evidence that he died and he rose again? Or is it because you're simply not ready to give up control of your life? So, Jesus, as we know, he reads hearts. And he knows immediately what they're thinking. And he asks, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Why does he say in your hearts? Why doesn't he say, why are you thinking these things in your mind, in your head? Because your hearts reveal who you truly are, what you truly want. what you're truly thinking. And then Jesus asks him a trick question. He says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? Well, they're both hard. They're both impossible for human beings, but they're not impossible for God. So then Jesus says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. So in the one breath, Jesus claims his identity. He says who he is, the Son of Man, and he heals a paralyzed man. Now this title, Son of Man, it's a title that only Jesus uses in the gospel to refer to himself. And it's a title that implies his humanness and his divinity, his godness. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have known exactly what Jesus was saying, because in Daniel, the prophet Daniel, he had a vision in chapter 7 of one like the Son of Man descending from heaven and bringing in God's kingdom. And so the Pharisees would have known that Jesus is saying, when he says, I'm the Son of Man, that he's the Messiah. He's the chosen one. And that's why the Pharisees are very angry. So he declares his identity, and at the same time, he heals the paralyzed man. And the paralyzed man immediately stands up, he takes what he's been lying on, and he goes home praising God. Now, why does Jesus say, take your mat and get up and go home, you know, and he goes home praising God? Why doesn't he just burn his mat? Why doesn't he say, chuck your mat in the recycle bin? He doesn't need it anymore. Well, there's three possibilities for this. See, the paralyzed man, and he carries his mat. First thing is, he's reminding himself of what Jesus has done for him. The second thing is, he can show others proof of what Jesus has done for him. He can say, see this mat? Once I was lying on it, now I'm carrying it. And the third possibility is that he can go to other people who are paralyzed, who are suffering, and say, see this mat? There is hope. There is hope that Jesus can heal you of the thing that truly paralyzes you. I see, when this lady laid her hands on me, something incredible happened. What I would do at night was just pour my heart out to Jesus and tell him everything, like I told you what I said before. And she pretty much said to me, Jesus hears you at night when you say all these things. And she repeated exactly the words I said to God. That was only between me and God. She repeated it to me. At that moment, I knew that God was speaking through her. And then she said, God is going to heal you. You go home tonight and praise him for healing you before he even does it. And I said, okay, you know. and she said, he's going to heal you because he wants you to bring healing to others. And I've taken that as he wants me to speak to others and you know, bring spiritual healing, at least not, I'm not thinking physical healing, I'm not ambitious. But I went home, I praised God. In the morning when I woke up, now I woke up in the morning, usually I wake up in the middle of the night, but I woke up in the morning, I was on morphine patches, I had my cane to hobble to the bathroom. I woke up, I walked to the bathroom, and I thought, oh, I'm walking? And, you know, we were supposed to move the next day. We had all the boxes packed. And I thought, I'm walking and I could do this. And I was in a wheelchair. I could not walk. So then I went to the stairs and I thought, because I've been sliding down on my bum and then crawling up every day for years. And I walked down and I walked up and I called my daughter. Hannah! can't get out of your room. She's like, what? Is it a cockroach? Is it a rat? I was like, no, look at this. And I went down the stairs and I walked up the stairs and she just collapsed crying. Relief. Because HSC, relief that she wouldn't lose her mum. And we were just praising God. And so from that day onwards, I always get up till now and I read my Bible, because those days I couldn't carry my Bible, and I memorize a verse and I keep reminding myself. And this Bible reminds me that once I couldn't even carry it, now I can. So we always have something to remind ourselves every day of what God has done for us. And you might say to me, oh, well, that's very good for you. You know, you've had this miracle and this paralyzed man has this miracle, but no such miracle has happened in my life. You know, I've had a lot of suffering lately. In fact, my life sucks. I mean, I don't have a job. I just lost someone in my family. My goldfish just died. You might just say, I have a very tough life. But you see, the thing is, these people, right, the crowd, when they saw what happened to this guy, that this paralyzed man could walk again, it says everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Now, this crowd, do you think they had an easy life? No. They lived under Roman rule. They were being oppressed. They were poor farmers, fishermen, and they had a lot of troubles. I mean, they were poor. They needed to feed their families. They probably had problems like us, you know, jobs and relationship problems, and probably worse. But the thing is, the moment they saw this miraculous work, they forgot all about that, and they were praising God. And for those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, we have something more amazing than that, see? We have the gospel, which is the greatest miracle of all. And the thing is, this crowd was filled with three main emotions. They were filled with wonder. They were amazed. Right? And then they were praising God. They were filled with gratitude. And they were filled with awe. They worshiped Jesus. And the thing is, once the gospel becomes real to us, once we experience it in a personal way, we will be filled with wonder. We'll be amazed that God actually came down in the flesh in the form of a baby in a manger. In the form of a poor carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth. And then we'll be praising God, we'll be filled with gratitude that Jesus was paralyzed on the cross in our place for our sins. And we'll be filled with awe, we worship him, we revere him, because he rose from the dead to free us from all the things that truly paralyze us, from death itself, to give us a hope of eternal life. So what should we do with this miracle? Well, we let nothing stop us from getting to Jesus. Be amazed. Remind yourself daily of what God has done for you, all the blessings in your life. We praise God. We show others what God has done for us. You know, just even by being joyful or just by sitting with them, listening to their problems, or inviting them over for a meal or bringing them a meal. You know, and we are filled with awe. We worship him. We shift our joy from the things of this world to Jesus, knowing that Jesus alone has the power to free us from the things that truly paralyze us. So let us stop at nothing. Let nothing stop us from getting to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear loving Father, we thank you for your message to us today. We pray, Lord, that it would bring us hope, that it would fill us with joy. For those of us, Lord, who don't yet know you in Jesus, we pray that this miracle would spark some interest and help you to become real. We pray, Lord, that as we go in this day for the rest of the week, that you would help us to praise you for all the amazing things you've done for us, and that you would free us from the things that keep us down, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.